This is Chris Smith and Dave Ansell.
We're looking at mobile phone technology this week. So for Naked Engineering, Mira and I have been to Cambridge University's engineering department to look at the research they're doing there to improve the quality and reliability of mobile communications. Dr. Albert Guillen explains what's happening when you're having a conversation.
So the first thing that happens is that your speech or speech signal is translated or converted into an electrical signal inside of your mobile phone, which is then digitized and reconverted into a long string of zeros and ones, which are, again, remapped into a different type of signal, which is suitable for transmission from your mobile phone antenna. And this signal then arrives to the nearest base station, which then puts you through the next level in the phone network and eventually connects you to the office.
So say while someone's out on the move, their environment is constantly changing. So how is this signal changing?
When we move, the signal that either we or the base station transmit bounces in buildings, cars, other users, trees, and we have no way of knowing what the signal is going to be. Sometimes these multiple paths or multiple signals or multiple bounces of the signal will add constructively, so we will have a very good reception. And other times, these components will add destructively. The mobile phone periodically trains itself to learn what the channel characteristics were. Then, using that information, it can reliably recover the data. Often what happens as well is that information is transmitted in different frequencies. And if one of the frequencies is down for whatever reason, then information can still be restored from the remaining frequencies.
I guess even this isn't going to produce you a perfect signal. And if you've originally compressed the data very, very hard, even a few errors are going to cause complete havoc with the sound. I think this is where your work comes in.
Yes, this is right. What the mobile phone does is adds another building block called error correction. And it does it in such a way that even in presence of errors or even in presence of destructive interference or fading from the channel, we can still recover our data reliably. So for example, one simple way one could think about this is to repeat the original compressed bitstream, to repeat it twice or three times. This clearly adds redundancy, but it would make transmission more reliable, but the data rate will suffer significantly. Instead, what all communication systems use are error correction codes that are mathematically more sophisticated than this simple repetition code. One prime example of that is what it's used in the CDs, where a code called Reed-Solomon code is employed.
We've now come down to one of the engineering workshops where Dr. Yossi Sayer is busy drilling holes into a CD. Now, Yossi, this does actually relate to what we've been talking about, mobiles. Why are you drilling holes into these CDs?
So I'm trying to illustrate on the CD how error control coding works. We've drilled some holes at the beginning of the first track of the CD. The CD uses an error correction mechanism, which should be able to, well, hopefully, play the sound, despite the fact that we've drilled holes in it. So it should be able to overcome the channel disturbance that we've introduced.
They've put this in there, so even if you scratch your CD, it's not completely worthless.
That's the idea, right?
Well, we do have our wonderful Naked Scientist theme tune on this particular CD that you've drilled away at. So let's see if this hole, which is about 2 millimetres wide, has made a difference and whether this track is still going to play.
So I'm going to put it in now, press the play button. Hopefully it'll work. Here we are.
Stripping down science. The Naked Scientist.
That hole was pretty much towards the beginning of the track, and as we heard there, it was still playing very smoothly.
Basically, what's happening here is we've added structure to the data. I think the best way to think about it is to think about Sudoku puzzles. The information would have been encoded onto this CD as a full Sudoku puzzles. By drilling holes or scratching the CD, we're erasing some of the information, which is very similar to what's happening in mobile phones, where the wireless channel is doing that for us. And the task of the reader or the receiver in the case of wireless communication would be to fill in those gaps and try to guess at the missing numbers.
And now moving back to you, Albert, then, what about the different types of signals? So 1G, 2G, 3G, GSM, how do these differ really? And I guess, and how does maybe error correction differ or the handling of these holes differ with these different types of signals?
So the major change occurred when GSM or 2G was introduced, because GSM was the first all-digital wireless communication system which featured error correction, data compression, while 1G was an analog communication system. And now future generations, including 3G, 4G, 5G, the main aim will be to progressively adapt to the channel characteristics and allow to transmit higher and higher data rates. And in order to help us achieve this goal, future systems will also feature multiple antennas at transmitter or the receiver, which will help us increase reliability and data rate.
That was Dr. Albert Guillen, and before him Dr. Yossi Sayer, both from the engineering department at the University of Cambridge.